Okay. Hi. Hi, that's it's very official.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that woman the best. Her name.
You like her the best. Do you want her to run all the calls?
Should I just try and hire her out?
I just want her to... I want her to come to my house and say encouraging things throughout the day. Your outfit is stunning.
Right. You're just broadcasting from above at your ceiling.
You guys all know, of course, you're going to be doing that for yourselves. That's the mwahahaha part of the
okay,
class.
Yes, right. I want that.
Yes, Terry, this is Jill. When you asked me if I had that capability on my iPhone, I sang into it like, "This, I'm mommy, I'm going to be a professional singer," and my daughter just about dropped dead. And then I sent it to my husband's text at work, and he responded back very negatively, and I jokingly said, "You crushed my dreams," because I know I can't sing well. But that's the only thing I wanted to practice to see how I know how to do that on my iPhone, because it's still new to me, so I had to sing something ridiculous. But so.
Okay, I have to say, you get big extra credit points for, first of all, jumping in before we even started, and then singing. It takes some people months to get to the point where they can sing into their recorders. So.
Oh, I will. I used to be a teacher, and I used to sing to the kids when they weren't listening, and that would get them to shut up really fast, because they didn't like to hear my voice. So.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I can tell already. This is going to be a great overachieving bunch of people. All right, well, I'm gonna officially begin, and I'm so happy to have you all here. It's funny, I'm sitting here looking at all of your names on the screen, and it's so much fun for me because I've been in touch with each of you individually, but to actually, like, sort of have you here in the room with me is just delightful, or at least virtually.
Thank you
in the
so
room.
Much for having us. We are so more delighted than us. Most delighted.
And I'm going to say, I started talking about this a little bit before all of you were on the line, but I deliberately kept the group under 10. That was my goal, was to keep it really small so that, first of all, so that we could have time at the end that people could share, and also because there is an individual portion of the coaching program that I'll be talking to you every week in between the calls, I really wanted to make sure that there was enough time for all of that. And it makes it really nice so that we can hopefully keep the conference line open instead of muting everybody out, which sometimes has to happen on these calls because there can be a lot of noise and interference. And, if we do find that if there's some distracting noise or whatever, like I think I hear a child in the background now. I don't know if that's okay for everybody.
All right, I'm going to leave that room as much as possible. That would be me. If you want to mute me out, Marlene is here with me. This is Amy.
I want to say
for a second that I really enjoy the voices of little people. So.
I love that.
I don't have to keep it, but I kind of like listening to what they have to say.
Well, good.
And it's nonstop chatter. I am trying to. Peter is home now cooking dinner, so I'm now making my way out to the back patio here to have some silence.
Right, and so it's just fun. I'll let you guys just sort of tell me, if any of the distractions are too much, we'll just work it all. But anyway, the group is small enough that we can just kind of do that together and monitor it. But I'd love to keep it open because I like it if people can just jump in if they feel like there's something that you want to say. And this is just, it's so great for me because, just to be totally transparent, and I think a lot of you already know this, but I have done a lot of one-on-one coaching calls and not very many at all of the sort of group coaching. In fact, this is just my second group coaching program. And so I've got that, like, butterflies in the stomach kind of thing going. And yet, because you're all, like, who you are, it feels so comfortable. Like, I'm just like, oh, that's right. These are really nice people. Anyway, it's okay. Just be
no worries.
Yay!
Yeah, you should not have a more easy audience, I think, than me, anyways. And sounds like some of these other ladies.
I know. I love that. And I did do a group last spring of a similar call. I've made some changes since then, but. It was so wonderful because I've been in touch with a number of them since then, and a lot of people are still using a lot of the tools that we did in the class, and particularly the self-mentoring, the audio self-mentoring, and it's so much fun for me to see that it's like you know, it's really working in people's lives in just the way that it works for me and that I had hoped would be able to pass along to other people. So I really want you guys just to kind of keep in touch with me, you know, whether it's on these calls that you want to voice it or in email or whatever, but feel free to give me whatever feedback as we're going along, you know, because I'm really open to anything that you have to say about how things are going, what you'd like to see more of or less of along those lines. And I think you've all got my email address because I've been emailing you.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So just a couple more sort of the housekeeping logistics before we jump into things. And so one of the things that I just wanted to tell you is how I came up with the timing of the classes. I mean, it really, my hope is to keep the content part to about 20, 25 minutes and then give us some time after that so that we can go up to about 45 minutes for the call. But I would, today we might go over because there is sort of the getting to know each other and these sort of logistical things. But my own, one of my own places of scarcity is around time. And I've really been looking at a lot in my life of what is possible in shorter amounts of time, because my monkey mind tends to tell me a lot that I need great chunks of time in order for anything to happen. You know, so, for instance, around time, I've been really looking at what is possible, even in, like, you guys will see this, especially in the 10 minutes. We got some static.
Yikes, then it might be me.
Who was that?
Amy. I'm
oh,
sorry.
Amy. Were you jumping around?
No, I'm not, but I'm a little technologically impaired where I am. But
if it starts again, I might try and mute you and see if it is you, but it's gone now.
Okay.
Yeah, so you guys will see, too, when we do the 10-minute boost calls in between, it's really phenomenal. How much can happen in that short of time? And I really, for me, this has been a big practice over the last couple of years, is really practicing with not letting my mind tell me that, you know, transformation takes a great amount of time. I think a lot can happen. Amy, I am going to try and mute you for the moment.
Okay, now I kind of don't think it's me.
Oh, really? Let me see. No, you're right. I still hear it. Oh, wait. All right, let's see how that goes for a minute. And Amy, I'll unmute you when, and I think you can star six if you ever, you know, if you need to say something. So just so you know.
Okay.
So basically then, the classes really, they'll usually start, we won't have all of this sort of, you know, stuff to happen in the first of the call, but I'll usually start the call with a short meditation just as a way to really get us to turn our attention inward and to just be here together. And really be able to focus on what we need to do for ourselves during the call. And then after that, I will present whatever the topic of the day is for, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And after that, we'll just open it up to see, you know, what thoughts people have, what questions. Once we get going with the recording and listening, people might have some things to share about their experiences with that or questions for me. So we'll sort of see how that goes and just open up that time. And I wanted to just speak a little bit more. We started talking about this before everyone was on the call, but just a little bit more about confidentiality. And I wanted to say that it's absolutely fine, of course, if you want to share any of your own experiences of anything that comes up in the class, and you're certainly welcome to share anything that I've shared with you. But I do ask that you don't share the stories or experiences that other people are voicing in the class that they have voiced. And really, again, it's really important to me that we keep, everybody gets to keep their experience private and sacred for them. And around that same topic, as I started to say earlier, I am borrowing something that I've learned from my Zen teacher, Sherry Huber, which is something she calls the privileged environment. And what that is basically is creating a space so that there's really the chance for people to go inward. And not to have to be a personality or have to worry about people responding, offering advice or guidance. And so I'll just give you an example. So like when we're in the discussion part of the group, if somebody speaks up and says something like, you know, I just had a fight with my boyfriend and, you know, I'm just feeling blah, 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 and they're talking about their experience, then the next person that would talk, instead of directing their conversation to that person or speaking to that person's experience, they would come from their own experience. So, like, it might spark something for someone. They might say, wow, you know, what she said really sparked for me, what happened for me this week around blah, 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 blah. But not in the, you know, I've been in groups a lot of times where I've said something that was really quite personal and revealing, and then there's been this barrage of advice and guidance and, well, you should, or I know that happened to me. And in a lot of ways, those things can derail us from having our own experience and really being able to see fully what's going on for us. I know there's a lot of places where it's really, that's what's done and that's kind of a part of what's happening. But I think in these calls, it's really important to me that I create the space so that we can all really use the time that we have. It's really for ourselves and not to have to feel like we're taking care of anyone or that other people are trying to take care of us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It does. Thank you. Good. Okay, good. For me, I've really appreciated it, again, in my practice with my teacher and with our Sangha, because it's just, it really creates this sort of safe space, and it feels very, but for me especially, it feels very freeing. I tend to be someone who might want to caretake a lot or, you know, that sort of thing, and so it allows for us not to feel like we could do that. We're all going to sort of assume that we're all very adequate to what's going on with us, and if there are issues that come up for people, I'm very happy to talk with them one-on-one. Whenever that might happen after the call or during the week that follows.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
Good. So that's kind of all that I had about sort of just the logistics of the calls. Is there anything anybody needs to know about being on the conference call or?
No.
Any
good.
Okay, good.
I think we'll figure it out as we go along for the most
yes.
part.
I think you will too.
Hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So what I would love to do right now is just take a few minutes for some silence. And so for us all to kind of just get into a space and be here. For me, I know especially, it's the middle of the week and there's been a lot going on. And so I'm just going to try and let all of it go and get here. So unless you're driving, which it didn't sound like any of you were.
Not yet.
Oh, that's right. Okay, good. So, unless you're driving, just gently close your eyes and place your feet flat on the floor if you're somewhere where you can do that. Your hands can rest comfortably in your lap. And take a minute to just sit up straight and feel yourself settled in your chair. And then you're just going to focus on breathing in and out through your nose. And let yourself just experience what it is like as the breath is entering your body and leaving your body. Just try and focus on breathing in and breathing out. And you may have thoughts swirling through your head, things that have happened during the day or things that are going on the call, but just as much as you can, just gently let them go. And you'll notice that the thoughts continue to come and go, sort of just like clouds in the sky. Just the mind at work, and that's perfectly fine. Keep returning to your breath. If you notice any tension or tightness in your body, see if you can just breathe into it and try and release it on the out-breath. If there's any sounds that are pulling your attention away, just let those go as well. See if you can be right here, breathing in, breathing out. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to be, nothing to do. Everything is fine in this moment. All you need to do is be here, present, with whatever is here with you. Really enjoying the feeling of this spaciousness of time. Can you feel that? Can you feel that this time is all ours? Nothing calling to us, just being here right now. Can you breathe into the sense of spaciousness an abundance of time. Breathing in, breathing out. Not having to be anything or anyone in this moment. Just being completely with yourself. Breathing in and out. Allowing ourselves to trust that in this moment, we have everything we need. Everything is okay. There's an abundance of breath. There's an abundance of energy of our life force. And in a moment, I'm going to have you open your eyes. And we'll all join the group again. So maybe take one more deep breath in and out. And open your eyes. So for me, that simple two-minute meditation is one of the ways that I give myself that feeling of abundance of time. I love to just take that just as 2 minutes to notice my breathing and just to experience what can happen in such a short amount of time. And that's such a teaching lesson for me that, you know, my monkey mind is often telling me that in order to have that feeling of expansiveness of time, to feel that abundance, that I need to have huge chunks of time and how am I going to get them, and it creates this whole story. But actually, I can experience a feeling of abundance in a very short amount of time. And hopefully, maybe, you know, you may not have experienced that, but it's something that we're really going to experience and look at experiencing in many different ways throughout the course of this class. I think that this whole concept of scarcity is a really common thing for us humans, and especially in our culture. If you look around, there are these messages of scarcity that are thrown at us all of the time, and particularly from the media. Many products and services are sold on the basis of what's called pain points, which many of you may know about. And, you know, you could also say those are, you know, quote-unquote scarcity points. There, you know, there's not enough money, not enough love, not enough friends. You know, our hair isn't glossy enough, our teeth aren't white enough, that our lives aren't quite happy enough, that there's more out there somehow, that, you know, if we just do X, then Y. And I think in a lot of ways, and especially this has been my experience, that these messages are such a part of our lives that sometimes they're just like the water that we swim in, that it can be really even hard to recognize that these are just beliefs and they're not actually facts. That, you know, it's just stories that I hear or that I take in internally and live around and I live through and experience all the time without questioning. And so, as many of you know from my Simply Celebrate work and my stories, this is something that I've looked at a lot in my life. You know, I don't at all consider myself an expert on this topic. It's not like I have answers, but it's something that I've been exploring for a really long time. And I really love sharing all the different things that I've learned and getting to learn from you guys. You know, this is a big part of having a class like that. This is just to be able to share these experiences and to share tools and techniques and what works. So I thought to open up the class today, I'd really want to share my own personal story of scarcity with you. And as I'm doing that, and right afterwards, I'll give you a little bit of time, but it would be great for each of you to sort of just reflect upon places where our stories might intersect, places where there might be different, but for you just to be thinking about your own story of where scarcity has shown up in your life over the years, and particularly maybe right now, this space and time. So for me, it feels like I had a really long story of not enough. And it was both not having enough and more deeply and probably more, much more importantly for me was this feeling of not being enough. And for a long time, it just felt like when I was growing up, my focus was on what wasn't. And it would come out in all these really, like, strange ways. I was a straight-A student throughout my school years, but I can remember, like, there'd be times when I would get a 95 on a paper or a 96, and I would be devastated. There'd just be this feeling of not enough. And, there were parties going on, and I might get invited to this party and that party, but if I didn't get invited to another one, I would immediately think there was something wrong with me, that there was something missing. At Christmas time, it seemed like the presents that I got never measured up. I would see what my friends were getting, and, you know, their designer jeans or their jewelry, and I would feel less than. And it seemed like what I was doing was always measuring against other people. You know, I was measuring intelligence. It felt like I was measuring popularity, money, depth of friendships. Hi, is that you, Tina?
That's me.
Hi.
I just checked over to my cell phone. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm just in the middle of telling my sort of story, my personal story. We'll have some time for discussion after. Nice to have you.
Tina, I just switched to my...
Oh, that's you. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. Christina and Tina, I got confused.
Yep.
Okay, hi. I
haven't done anything. Sorry.
That's okay. No, it's okay. So what I was saying is, I just, like, it felt like what I was doing all the time was doing this measuring of myself against other people, and it was in all these different areas. And yeah, it's kind of hard for me to look back on. It's hard to talk about. It's something I'm definitely not very proud of, but it was my experience, and it didn't feel like there was any information coming in from anywhere to help me sort through those kinds of feelings. It felt like there was these constant outer materialistic examples. I'm going to mute. There we go. It just felt like there were these outer sort of materialistic examples that pointed to these deeper feelings for me that I wasn't enough. You know, so I can remember just always feeling like I wasn't doing enough, I wasn't patient enough, I wasn't generous enough, good-hearted enough, or I wasn't having the right feelings. And I learned really at a pretty early age of a system of sort of covering up those feelings, but that didn't mean that they went away. It was just something that I lived with, and nobody around me was really talking about it, and so I never really talked about it. But those feelings intensified a lot as I grew older. I was really fortunate to get a scholarship to a private university, and it was a wealthy school, and most everybody was better educated than me. Most everybody had a lot more money than me. They had better clothes. And that whole experience was just like this whole, like, petri dish of sort of, you know, accelerating all of those feelings that I'd already had, that there was something wrong and not enough, that somehow, you know, I wasn't good enough or smart enough to be like these other people. And so after college was over, I continued to sort of go through these feelings of being anxious and living in this world of not enough. And on the outside, it was interesting because people would always say, oh, you're so cheerful, you're so optimistic, you're so fun. And there was a way in which that was true. There was a way in which I could sort of flip a switch and be in that light place. But I also had that dark, hidden inner world where I just was constantly measuring. And never did I measure up. It was like everyone, I felt like everyone had this secret to love and money and success, and that I was just left out somehow. And so the result of that was this very deep depression that I couldn't get out of. And it culminated with, I moved up to San Francisco with a boyfriend, and we broke up after about a year of being here. And I was just completely devastated. It just felt like one more loss and then one more place of, you know, seeing what was missing. I would see couples walking around together all the time and just feel just completely devastated by it. And fortunately, what happened for me, you know, just by some grace of how life happens sometimes, is that a friend of mine gave me a book by Sherry Huber, who's my teacher still. But that book was given to me back in 1991, and it led me to a meditation class. And during that class, I will never, ever forget that moment. They had us focusing on breathing in and breathing out. And there was one in-breath where I didn't experience any pain. And it was this moment for me, this huge, like, realization, because that was the first moment I could remember in a long time that I didn't feel trapped in pain. And it was like this huge light went on for me. And it felt like I was suddenly given the key to freedom. And because I had thought, to me, it seemed like the depression and the anxiety and the constant measuring against other people had felt so solid. And it felt like this sort of iron wall closing in on me. But when I sensed that one moment of that one in-breath and that sort of sense of no pain, I did realize, like, that was available to me. And I can remember, like, the next day just sort of going around in my life noticing moments that weren't painful. So, like, I would pick up my cat and hold her close to me and she'd purr and I could feel her against my belly. And I would think, oh, you know, no pain. Or, you know, I would taste the jam on my toast and the smell of the toast and it would feel free. Or the way the light would come in, you know, and play on the walls. And I started watching for those moments when they would occur. And then what I saw is that I could actually start creating those moments, that I didn't have to just sort of sit around and wait for them to drop on me, but I could start creating moments that felt not only like no pain, but actually that felt like joy, that felt like the opposite of the scarcity that I had been focused on almost all of my life until that point. And so I really started to pay attention to where my attention was. And the more I started playing around with this, and, you know, of course, this has been years now, and you know, again, I was really fortunate to have come across a teacher to sort of guide me in this whole process for so many years. And then, of course, more and more and more teachers have come into my life. But that movement from there's not enough to there is enough, this is it, to there's actually an abundance, this has been sort of my central practice for so many years. And it was and it is still now a moment-to-moment practice. It's really my belief that we change our lives in singular moments. And so this isn't easy in the culture that we live in. You know, I think... Hello?
Oh, sorry, it's Christine. I lost it and I had to call back.
Oh, hi.
sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. As I was saying a little earlier, I think our culture really promotes this idea of not enough, and, you know, that we're sort of living in a world that often encourages us to think that we need something else to complete us, or that we need something else to feel better. And we need to be more beautiful, we need to be thinner, smarter, sexier, more flexible, more happy, more successful. We live in this culture of these wild ranges of scarcity and abundance. And for our first class, I just sort of really wanted to share my story with you and then leave just a few minutes right now of silence where, you know, each of you could just maybe kind of think about your own story and your own culture that you live in or that you grew up in, and, you know, maybe what it is that drew you to this particular class at this particular time. So I'm just going to be silent for just 2 minutes so that we all have a chance to sort of just come into our own story around this. So, my hope for this class is that, you know, no matter what we've come in with, and I know that we're all probably in very different places, and we probably all have very different content around this whole idea of scarcity and abundance, but I believe that the process for moving out of scarcity and into a feeling of abundance is a very similar one for all of us. And I think that there are tools and techniques that can help no matter what the content is. And no matter how difficult it may feel at the moment. And so I'm just so grateful to you all for being willing to walk through this with me and for us all being willing to just, you know, see what happens. Because there's two things that I'm certain of. And one of them is that the movement from scarcity to abundance is a practice. And the second one is that we can each become our own best friend and support in that practice. And the second part of that, of the, you know, the part about being our own best friend is really where, you know, the talk yourself into it portion of the course comes in. So I know that some of you who are here on the call are already familiar with the audio self-mentoring practice that we'll be using in the next 6 weeks. And to others of you, this may be brand new. But it is just an amazing tool that I learned from Sherry Huber. And there was an email I sent you maybe a week or so ago that, you know, pointed out a book of hers that can guide one in starting this practice. You know, that's not required at all to read. It's just, it'd be great if, you know, if you feel moved to do so. It's a really great book, and it's very helpful. I'll be sure and include that link. I'm going to be doing some follow-up with you tomorrow, and so I'll be sure and include that link again so that you have it. And as well, one of the things that I'm going to be sending you is a link to an interview that I did with Sherry, where she talks about how to start this practice and how to maintain it and some of the things that come up around it. And so that, I think, will be really helpful, too, as you're going about this. And, of course, we'll have our time to check in during the week so we can also check in one-on-one about that. But basically, the audio self-mentoring is a practice of recording ourselves, saying things to ourselves that support us as we go about our lives. For me, it's a way to access the part of myself who can sort of hold everything and who can have compassion for all the various parts of me. For me, I think about it as like, you know, I often think of how I am with my son. Like, when something's going on with my son, I have the ability, like, say he's acted out in some way, I have the ability to see and understand, you know, that part of him that acted out. And at the same time, I can hold a great love for him and, you know, really come from a place of love when I'm speaking to him. And so there's that same sort of process that can happen internally. There's like that one who can come out sometimes, I think for all of us, actually I know for all of us, that can really offer a place of acceptance and compassion. And so that's a lot of, at least for me, and you can all find out for yourselves what happens with this, but the audio self-mentoring is really a place for that practice to happen, that practice of turning to ourselves to offer ourselves the compassion and acceptance that can help us perhaps to sit with a situation, perhaps see it differently, perhaps offer some wisdom that maybe we couldn't see. So my intentions for this class series, I have four things that I'm hoping for us. And the very first one is acknowledging and accepting where we are right now. That really being able to accept all of the places that feel scarce and for us to really be able to look at our lives and see that there's no other parallel life that, you know, where we're thinner, where we're richer, where we're more generous, that this is our life and that we can accept it wholly and completely exactly as it is. The other thing that I would love is for all of us to be able to examine with a curious mind what scarcity and abundance means in each of our lives. So So that means just looking, watching, playing around with it, creating some space for situations to arise or for ourselves to just look at things and have that spirit of inquiry around them. The third one is to learn the tool about audio self-mentoring so that we can feel like we have the support that we need. And then the last one is really to have some fun trying out practices that might help shift our perspective and maybe even the reality around us. So as you've probably guessed, this week my big focus is really on the acceptance piece and those small pinpricks of light that I talked to you about in my own story. That, you know, again, we've all come with so many varied and possibly really intense pieces of scarcity that we're looking at. And I want to really encourage us to see if we can accept where we are and befriend ourselves in the midst of, you know, whatever piece of scarcity has gotten a hold of us. And it could be that we feel that that's our own doing or that we've been victims to something outside of us. But no matter what, that we can accept that this is where we are, this is who we are, this is what our lives look like, and that we're going to dedicate ourselves in the next 6 weeks to just seeing what shifts we might be able to create in our perception of what scarcity is in our lives. So in light of that, and I apologize because I do realize that we're going later than I had hoped, again, because there was just sort of a lot of stuff to cover about the calls, but I would love to open up the call and hear from you guys. And there are a couple of people on the call who have done the audio self-mentoring a little bit or some various practices that are similar. And so I thought I might just check in. You don't have to talk if you don't want to, but I thought I'd check in. There are two people that I thought I would just see if you wanted to say a few words. And then maybe we can see if anybody else has anything they'd like to say or ask or share around that. And I do understand if anybody needs to drop off, you know, please go ahead and just do so. The call, the recording will be available. But Renee, I don't feel on the spot because if you don't feel like sharing, that's perfectly fine. But I know that you've had a lot of experience with the audio self-mentoring.
Yeah, I don't mind sharing.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you. I thought it'd be really helpful because you're someone who's been doing it for quite a long time, and you have that perspective of knowing what it was like in the beginning. And how it may have shifted for you. And I know, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to, and including myself, my experiences is that it can be a little bit intimidating in the beginning.
Right, yeah. It seems awkward when you first hear about it even. And you think you know what's going to happen, but you really don't, I think. And you don't want to hear your own voice. And I would just say it's not what you think it is, you know, when you first start. You just do it and trust the process. And I think it was helpful to have a little bit of structure around it in terms of what to do with it at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like maybe we have some ideas about exercises to do for people who haven't, which you probably have planned.
And yeah, I do. Thank you.
Yeah, so that was helpful to have some structure and then just... at first, it is hard to do it, I would say. There's resistance and, you know, awkwardness a little bit.
And what is the practice for you now? Do you mind sharing a little bit about how it feels?
Well, now it feels like I couldn't live without it because I do it all the time. So I check in on my recorder whenever I have anything going on with just regular life stress or, you know, anything at all going on. I check in and I hear, so part of it is I record things that I like to hear over and over again, like music or poetry or special sayings that I put on there from retreat. And then also I go on there and I sometimes just reflect myself, you know, like talk about what's going on, and then I self-mentor, you know, and talk and then listen to what comes as far as insight.
Mm, yeah.
And there's always something that comes as far as insight, things, something I might not have seen before. I would say always there's something I haven't seen before that comes just to get it out of my head and into another medium so that I can hear it or hear myself talk about it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and I love what you said about that, you know, sort of the aspect that we don't really know what it is until we start doing it, which to me is one of the pieces of, I mean, I know that it takes a certain amount of trust, and I'm hoping that people might, you know, trust me, trust, you know, you, just trust that, you know, when they hear the interviews that I do with Sherry Huber, that there's a certain amount of trust that it's like, okay, I'm gonna try this, you know, this sounds a little, you know, it's a little crazy or whatever, but, you know.
The other thing that's really helpful about it that, I don't know if people have journals or whatever, but, you know, you kind of go through the same things all the time. So when you record about it and then you re-listen to it, a lot of times what I listen to, I'm going through it again.
Yeah.
You know, so it's helpful to have it on a recorder, and if I'm not recording, I'm just listening, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's coming up again, you know, and I hear something, a little tidbit of wisdom or something that came from before, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And, Lene, I thought that it would be great if you mind saying a word or two, and I'll ask you something specific.
Okay. I'm happy to.
What I thought would be great is because I know that you just kind of on a whim, or I don't know, not so much on a whim, but you just picked up your recorder recently and just started doing some recordings, and I thought it'd be really helpful for people to kind of hear your thoughts on, like, how you got over that initial awkwardness.
I don't know if I have how many good tips, but becoming aware of how uncomfortable I was recording my voice and hearing my voice, I thought that I better actually, like, practice and try to get over a little bit of that even before this call. Last week, you know, I know that I would really like to see what happens for me. I feel like that because I have such resistance to what you're encouraging us to do, like, internally, that's something I need to learn from, and I need to put more energy there. You know how you can anyway. And so I started practicing recording while I was driving. My boyfriend lives an hour from where I live, and I haven't had a lot of time to journal. And so I started just recording my reflections about the day either previous or the night before or what I was thinking ahead about, just as far as trying to get comfortable speaking out loud about speaking my thoughts out loud, I guess. And when I would feel most uncomfortable or most nervous, I would start to describe the environment that I was in, just bring myself right into the moment, whether I was describing the color of green of the trees or any kind of sensory, just go deep into the senses. And that would somehow make me feel less self-conscious, maybe getting out of the thought and reflective place for a minute and entering the environment. So I don't know if is that what you were talking
about? Mostly, like, I was just really inspired by your courage to just pick it up and start doing it. And, you know, as we were talking about a little bit last night, the fact that you just kept doing it even though it felt silly or it felt awkward or there was a little bit of, even though nobody's right, that was the part that I love. I mean, it's like I feel the same way. You know, it's like nobody's around and I'm embarrassed, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that I just for people to know that that's all really typical, you know, that it's like those are things that I think everybody that I've talked to who has done this practice has gone through that, like, okay, this is kind of weird. I'm talking to myself, you know, but.
Well, I just said those things out loud, recorded them, going, this is really weird, I can't believe I'm doing this. And then after, I think, on day three of doing the audio journaling, all of a sudden, all of that was gone, and I just went straight into the place. And at the end, I even said, thanks for listening, and I went, oh, my gosh, that's silly. But it had that kind of comfort, and I was shocked. I was really shocked that after probably three hour long recording, I was already that much more comfortable. I was really surprised. Is that?
Yeah, that's great. And also, just so people don't get terribly intimidated by that, the assignment, tomorrow I'm going to post some things. There'll be a couple things that I'll really highly encourage that you do, and then I'll have some, like, extra credit things that, you know, if people want to take on a little more. But the first assignment will be, of course, making a recording, but I'm going to make it a really simple, you know, it can be 10 seconds, you know, it's going to be the first one, and it can be, you know, really short, and I'll give you some guidelines just to, like Renee was saying, it's helpful to sometimes have an assignment. You know, you never have to follow, here's the other thing, too, it's like, If there's something else that comes up for people, like I really want to do this or that, you know, you can always just feel free to do that. So I'm wondering if anybody else, Amy, I unmuted you, by the way, just so you don't think you're still muted, but I'm wondering if
let me tell you that my scarcity conversation was that I have spent a little bit of time worrying that you were going to forget.
Oh! I love that you just said that. Oh. No, you're totally back here with us. I didn't forget about you at all.
I'm so thankful. Thank you.
So, I mean, there's never, I just want everyone to feel perfectly comfortable. I'm always fine if people have lots they want to share, if they have questions, if they have experiences or just thoughts. I'm also completely fine if people just want to stay, you know, connected to themselves and internal with this. There's not any pressure at all. And at the same time, I'll want to leave open the space. So, we'll all learn to get a little bit comfortable, too, with silence when that's there. Or maybe not so silent. We'll get to, good to be comfortable with space where there's interesting noises to wonder about.
Sherry, I just really appreciate you introducing the idea even of self-mentoring, because it's not something I had ever considered until our recent exchanges, and it still feels, even in this conversation, I'm like, oh, wow, that's what this is about. I still feel very surprised and excited about what lies ahead, and I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and that was Lene. Thank you, Lene. I really appreciate that. Is anyone feeling, and again, no pressure if you don't feel like saying it, but is anyone feeling like, oh, no, what in the world have I gotten myself into?
This is Jill, and no, I'm not feeling that way. No, I was listening to your scarcity story, Sherry, and it kind of reminded me some of my growing up in a way of not having enough or wishing I had the DoorDash jeans or whatever, and always, and still feeling that way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, I got a message, you know, from my parents quite often that, oh, your dad might get laid off, so we're not going to have a big Christmas. Your dad, every year we'd hear that, and it never happened, or I wanted something new, we can't afford it, but we went on trips every year. You know, so I always heard those words, we can't afford that. So I'm sure that has filtered into my adult life as well, you know.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, this is Amy. That just brought something up for me. And Sherry, my story was very similar to yours, except kind of the opposite. And I can explain what that means another time. But listening to you, Jill, just now, I just have this overwhelming sense of love for our parents who had those conversations. Because I think we know maybe that's a tough way to live.
Yeah, they're scared, I'm sure.
And I think part of my work through the last 48 years has been learning to just really love those people and see them where they were instead of feeling angry.
Sure.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
oh, it totally makes sense.
You say that really resonated for me as something that I certainly heard, and I think we didn't really have scarcity when I was growing up, but it felt scarce to one of my parents in particular, and you know where I am with that now is if we can just take a moment and really honor that and really love those people for the struggles that they were having.
Oh, Amy, that's so beautiful. I really love and appreciate that, because that can be one of the things of, you know, where we're looking in our own scarcity to blame. But also I think that what's so important about what you just said is that, and this is my experience, is that internalizing some of that external. And so then it's like being able to turn to that part of ourselves that may express some of those same feelings, or, you know, things that we may have heard from our parents or other people. And so being able to also hold that same amount of compassion for ourselves when we find ourselves in those same places.
Oh, well, I can't do that.
Amy?
I'm just being a little and a little not.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah, well, probably mostly not, yeah, but... But when I say it out loud, it sounds really silly, and then I can maybe let a little bit of it go.
Yeah, I think that'll be one really strong place where we can all look over the next 6 weeks, you know, is for like what we're seeing externally and then where it may possibly live with us internally, you know. And so that constant offering acceptance and compassion to both. Those very real people on the outside, but also those very real parts of us that exist.
Hey, Sherry, it's Renee. I'm going to have to get off. I have another call.
Oh, sure. Thank you for letting me know.
Oh, sure. Thank you for doing this. It's been great.
Oh, good, good. I'll be in touch. I'm going to be sending everybody a note about our in-between meetings. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, thanks for being here.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, and I just to come clean, I'm so torn because I really want to honor the time and everybody's time, and I just want to make sure that people also felt like they had space, because I did do so much sort of introductory talking tonight. So I'm sort of sitting here with both, like this, like, oh, I don't want to hang up. I love you. You know, it's so great to have you guys all on the call. And we're also heading into about an hour on the line, and so... Is there anybody feels like that there's something that they do really want to share before we go?
No, I'm really enjoying just listening here. Cause I probably say that because I'm a talker, but I'm really enjoying listening. So
that's oh, really oh, great. Okay, well, good. And, you know, feel free to talk when you do feel moved to.
Yeah, I kind of don't want it to be over, but I'll do what everybody else does.
I do have to go to dinner, so I got to get dinner on the table over here. So I will run if we're wrapping up.
We are, definitely. Thank you. That was Christina, right?
Yep. Thanks, Sherry. Okay, I look forward to your message.
Okay, Doug. Okay, bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm feeling, and it's just such a wonderful feeling, like this great abundance of connection, even though it's like I'm just sitting, I'm in my room all by myself, but I'm just feeling this great gratitude for, like, wow, this is so amazing that all of you were willing to devote the time to show up and to be here, and I can feel your presence, and it's such a gift. I'm just really grateful to you guys.
Well, this is Jill again, and I'm grateful too, because right now we're going through a scarcity financially, and it's really causing extreme anxiety. So I'm looking forward to having, you know, some kind of a connection or support, or, you know, getting some ideas like the self-mentoring, the audio self-mentoring, and just having you guys here to hear your stories or ideas and support. So thank you.
Oh, that's great. Oh, good. Well, I'm here, and, you know, all of you, again, feel free to email me at any time, you know, if there's stuff that's come up and you want to just, you know, put it out there.
Sure.
And have someone on the other end. Okay, well, thank you, and same time next week, I'll send you off the new call-in number, and I'll also be in touch with all of you about, you know, how we'll connect during the week, and I'll also let you know as soon as I post things tomorrow for you to check in on.
Okay, wait, Sherry, where will those be posted?
I'll have a special place on the Simply Celebrate site, so everything will be online for you to access.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll send you all the link, and hopefully it'll be crystal clear.
Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Have a great night, everybody.
Okay.
Nice to meet you all. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, take care.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.